Everybody's ashamed. Everybody wants you to know the name. Everybody wants it. Nobody's ashamed. Everybody wants
to be famous. Everybody wants it. Nobody's ashamed. Everybody wants you to know the name. Everybody wants it. Nobody's ashamed. Everybody wants
to be famous. Everybody wants it. Nobody's ashamed. Everybody wants you to know the name. Everybody wants it. Nobody's ashamed. Everybody wants one thing.
Test, test, test. Do some volume check. Hey, Chase. Test, test.
Okay.
Good?
The races with Steve Bick.
Yes, sir.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Saratoga Racecourse, Travers Week, everybody. Good morning. Good Wednesday. Sirius 219, XM 201. Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, too, stevebick.com. And if you were listening seconds ago on the stream, you probably heard me testing with Case. I was just talking to Pat McKenna. And it is Travers Week. And, of course, the Travers Field assembled last evening, late afternoon. They'll put the rest of the card together. In fact, they're I've already seen and talked to Andrew Byrne and to Frank Gabriel. They're hustling and trying to get the fields rounded out for Saturday's extravaganza. First and foremost, of course, the Travers itself. And bear with me while we pull out the... We don't have PPs, obviously. But actually, probably that was stupid. I should have printed the nominations and had that at hand, but we don't. So we'll just go with the draw as it came together. And Field of Eight, and of course we had lost Charge It ahead of this week, and we got to talk about the strong showing of the Todd Pletcher trainee, Green Up, winning that Catherine Zofia. And in fact, everybody that's been on this week has had success. Graham Motion, another winner, right? Here's your field for the Travers. From the rail, Cyberknife, Florent Giroux, 7-2 on David Aragona's morning line. Your Haskell winner. And Nick the Stick. There he is, Nick Santagaga. If Tony's listening, he's saying, that's my Nicky. Nick Santagaga coming by. Cyberknife, 7-2 off the Haskell victory with Florent Giroux from the rail, which doesn't seem to be a problem for him, and actually probably an advantageous spot, you bet. Rich Strike, your Derby winner. Sonny Leone, 10-1 from the 2. And, of course, he'll drop out of it at least somewhat and be able to save all the ground from the inside. So not a bad draw for your Derby winner. Ain't Life Grand coming in from the Midwest, from Prairie Meadows. And Tyler Gaffleone gets the call here, 20-1 for KVH. Gilded Age, Junior Alvarado, 30-1. Artorias, emerging type. Maybe from, possibly from, you know, that West Coast kind of school, maybe, a little bit. Or, you know, some of the recent, Arrogate was a little different. Artorias, Arad Ortiz, 9-2. Epicenter, of course, your favorite from the six-hole. And with the status of Joel Rosario a little up in the air, and I have not actually reached out to Ron Anderson yet this morning. And Ronnie, if you're tuning in, let me know. We're all waiting and hoping that this health setback and issue gets rectified, gets cleared up. So I'm just sending him a little note. We'll see if we can get an update from Ron Anderson. But Epicenter 7-5, early voting. Jose Ortiz, the second of the three Chad Brown sophomores, 8-1. And on the outside, Zandon with Flavian Pratt, 5-1. So this is a accomplished and solid field. Obviously, there's a few horses that, you know, you'd love to have Modonegal healthy and ready to go. Charge It would have been a nice addition and all that. But when you've got this kind of a lineup, there's nothing wrong. You've got, you know, the established three-year-old division leaders. You've got their closest pursuers for the most part, and then you've got a couple of, you know, potential upstarts in horses like Artorias and even Ain't Life Grand. So, I just, Ron Anderson just came back with a text, all good, meaning, I can only assume, meaning that Joel Rosario, good to go today, and now we got to follow up, with Ron, in fact. You know what we're going to do? Casey won't mind. I'm not going to trouble Casey to do this, but let me pull a little stunt here and see if we can't. I'm doing this impromptu. I'm putting you on speaker. Hope you don't mind.
What are we doing?
I'm just checking with you to see how you look for you know, for this, the rest of the week, and what about Saturday for Epicenter?
Okay. Whatever. Okay.
All right. What do you give everybody an update on him?
Okay.
Ron, what can you tell me? Set to go. Good. Yep. Excellent. Excellent. And Epicenter status for Saturday? Yeah. Hey. All right. Excellent. All right. I appreciate it. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I just wanted to give everybody the update. All right, Ron. We'll see you later. Thanks. Sit down. Yeah, sit down. We've had kind of a crazy start to the show, getting the word that Joel Rosario is okay and ready to run and ready to ride. And here's Brad Cox stepping in for a couple of minutes on the heels of yesterday's Smarty Jones win and best actor for the Gary and Mary West team. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right, what's going on? Hold on. Let me make sure I got you. Try that now.
Hello.
There we go. That's better. That's better. Yeah. Nicely done.
Yeah, thank you. Nice colt. That's didn't get started this spring, but has picked it up really well, and hopefully this leads to, you know, being a horse that can compete at the graded stake level, maybe grade ones and grade twos in the future.
It looked mid stretch like he was not confused, but he got to kind of looking around and then got back to business.
Yeah, he actually didn't switch leads down the lane yesterday.
Okay.
He did up the backside and everything and around the turns, but down the lane he didn't. And, that's been something he's done in the past, so it's something we obviously still have to work with. Like we said, he's a touch lightly raced, and hopefully he's going to improve with, just more racing, more seasoning, and he's a horse that I'm hopeful that can step up and be competitive at the grade one level in time.
What, just trying to think about the, I mean, obviously the Pennsylvania Derby is the place to, once you get that win, right?
Well, it's something we're obviously going to look at. There's other races as well as the Oklahoma Derby that could make as much sense for him at this stage of his career. So, we'll talk over with the West team, and once again, he's just shipping back from Parks to Churchill today and see how he comes out of it and move forward.
Just looking to see. There's no figure yet.
No, but I've checked about three times today.
I'll also dive in. I wanted to catch you because you also, if I'm not mistaken, there were a couple of things I almost reached out to you for the last 2 weeks. Yes, let's start with Caravel the other day. And I got to tell you, I can't ever get her right suddenly. She was very good on that Sunday or Saturday? Saturday.
Yeah, no, she was really good. She training, you know, the right way. And, you know, our last race here in the Caress was a complete throwout. It was a debacle from the start with braking slow and then pretty much being eliminated a quarter mile, 3/8 of a mile into the race. So Tyler did a good job, just kind of wrapped up on her and let her gallop home that day. And there was no intent on bringing her up here and running her twice. We obviously came with the goal of winning a graded stake. It didn't work out. She came out of that race in good order. And then we just turned our attention toward this Smart and Fancy. And, you know, we thought we'd use it as a little bit of a filler between the Caress and the race at Presque Isle. Was kind of what we've had on our radar for a while now. So it's
the Masters. So.
Yes, 6.5 on the synthetic. She has a tremendous record on the synthetic. We've run her once there at Turfway this past winter, and she seems to really like it. So, you know, if she continues to do well, that's hopefully where she'll land.
Before I talk about a couple of other recent wins, we should really talk about Interstate Daydream as well in the Philly race in the Catherine Sophia.
Yeah, you know, it was wasn't the result we were looking for. She did run a decent race. Obviously, Philly that won the race is an up and comer, and that was a really impressive race from her. So you know, we'll regroup with her. I don't know if we're going to look at the Cotillion right now. Once again, she's another one that's headed back to Churchill this morning, and we'll see how she comes out of it.
Well, I should hit on a few of the other recent victories, including the maidens. You got some maidens winning at Ellis. You got the maiden here, that You Glow girl.
Yeah, she was good.
Right?
Daughter of Gervin. That's took her second run to break her maiden here in the auction race, but she's a horse that was impressive enough, and you know, we'll shop around for maybe some black type here in the near future with her.
Talk about a couple of the older distaff types, including Bonnie South, who you're trying to, you know, kind of do a Caravel with. And you sent, of course, She Dares the Devil out to try to reprise the Clement Hirsch. Both of those were, you know, serious assemblies of talent.
Yeah, you know, the obviously that we didn't get the result we wanted in either race, but both mares did come out of their races in good order. She Dares the Devil's back at Churchill. She had a bruise this past weekend. She's doing really well, and we'll point for the either the Locust Grove or the Spinster. And hopefully, you know, she performs well in her next one, and maybe, you know, we can give her a run in the Breeders' Cup.
And, you know, it's actually, I'm glad we got the second, because listen, I can reach out to you almost any Monday, and there's something to recap positively, but it's actually been an interesting month or so with mixed results. I mean, this, you know, this impression that everything you send out wins. It's a little over the top, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And, for instance, you went down to Mountaineer last week. Folsom won that Governor's. You had to be happy with that effort.
Yeah, big run. He was stuck down inside. He really didn't act like he was going to do much running until he got out in the clear.
Yeah.
And then he was able to pass some horses and finish up well. But he's a nice horse. It put him over the $1 million mark. You know, he's been a very consistent horse, great race record, and I think he's won now 4 graded stakes. So, you know, listen, he's a son of Into Mischief. At some point, you know, hoping some people can stand stud somewhere at somewhere.
No doubt.
How it goes.
We're going to shift to 3-year-olds for a second, and including Matarea and Ready to Perform, whose win in the in the Hall of Fame is notable. Couple of other, yeah, Matarea. Oh, no, Homebrew tried the Derby, the West Virginia Derby.
Yeah, it didn't work out well for him. Paco Lopez wrote him, said he didn't really care for the track, but he did come out of it in good order, so we'll hopefully find a spot for him at some point in September. Ready to Perform was, I thought, very impressive here. You know, he's a horse that we've always thought anywhere between a mile and a quarter is probably what he wants to do. He was able to take control of a race that we thought lacked pace. On the inner turf here in the mile, you need to be forwardly placed, it seems like, and he responded well. Joel put him in position, put him on the lead, and he really kicked home well.
How about Juju's Map and Matarea? Where are you?
Matarea's getting a little time. Nothing major, no surgeries or anything. Just thought she just, you know, needed some time. Really not. Flavia didn't really think she liked the track that day. They sealed it. We had a storm about an hour before the race, and they sealed the track. It just wasn't her her thing, but she did come out in good order, but we're just going to give her a little break. And then Juju, real no not much of an excuse for her at Monmouth. Had a good trip, just didn't finish up quite as well as we needed her to, and she came out in good order. We're looking at some stakes there at Churchill in September for her moving forward.
Well, and before we talk about Cyberknife and Saturday in the Travers, I got to ask your thoughts on Mandaloon and what to do next.
I don't know what to think about Mandaloon right now, other than he's very, very sound and training well, and he's you know, we'll get him back on the work tab here soon. You know, listen, he's a very accomplished horse. He was, you know, I thought run one of the best races of his life to begin the year in the Louisiana, and then it just really, you know, from a training standpoint, everything's went great, but in the afternoons, nothing's went right since the Saudi Cup. So, you know, look, he as long as he, you know, we may give him another spin or two. You know, he's a beautiful horse, and obviously he's a very sound horse. So, you know, we're I think it's maybe a little bit more between his ears than it is anywhere. So we'll see how things develop over the next couple weeks.
Turn to the Travers, and a good chance that you and Al will be sitting here on Monday morning for a big Travers recap. It really feels, and I'm not discounting the other six by any means, but it
Seven.
Really,
it's
other, well, no, I'm saying, but yeah. I'm leading into a Cyberknife epicenter, you know, battle and confrontation. It really feels like that, and a lot of people making the case, watching, you know, whatever videos come trickling out of the backside, that Cyberknife has done nothing but even go forward since Haskell.
Yeah, he's done really well. His last two moves here at Saratoga on the main track have been very, very good works. Gallop out's very impressive. So I think he's set up for a huge race. I really, really do. And I just love the way he looks physically. Mentally, he's handling everything really well. So physically, I mean, his flesh is great. His color's good. And he likes it here at Saratoga. I mean, he's been training on the main track consistently every morning first thing. And he seems to really be coming around at the right time, or even getting better, I should say. I mean, he's been good for a while now, and, you know, I feel we've always felt like, just based off of, you know, his physical, that he would be a horse that would get better with time, and he seems to be doing that.
One question I think that's probably important for Al Gold, what is going to happen that could possibly keep him from being here Saturday? We're thinking car could break down, perhaps a tree could fall in front of the driveway and make it inaccessible to come to the racetrack, because let's see, he doesn't have to fly.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And he feels like, knock on wood, he's 100% healthy. So
yeah.
We're just wondering if there's anything that can prevent him from coming.
No, I'm hopeful there's not, so we'll see.
Well, it's worked out okay.
Yeah,
the Arkansas Derby, it worked. You know, the race he shouldn't have come to maybe was the Derby.
That's right.
I love it. Who else goes Saturday?
In stakes, that's it for us here. Yeah, nothing on the undercard. Sunday we have Lady Rocket and a Ballerina, which they moved that. That's normally a undercard Travers race, but, you know, we'll have some grade one action both days, which is exciting, with Lady Rocket and the Ballerina.
I noticed that you didn't have, I was kind of surprised you didn't send anything to Charlestown on Friday night.
No, we had thought about Folsom for the
Oaks.
The classic.
The classic.
And then our collector kind of kept me from doing that.
Well, there's some handicapping. Yeah. There's some handicapping for everybody.
So, but other than that, no, nothing.
And Oaks, the Oaks too is. I mean, that's usually mm-hmm. a good bellwether race. The
Charlestown Oaks.
I mentioned the maidens, and just for everybody, for keeping track. Chasing Rainbows at Ellis. There was You Glow Girl we mentioned. Flashy Gem at Ellis. Mm-hmm. Chop Chop at Ellis. Key of Life on the Million Undercard at Churchill. Hot Rumor at Indy. Angel of Empire at Indy. This is unbelievable. Jace's Road at Ellis. Jet Setting at Ellis. Judo at Ellis. Film Star at Ellis. This is nuts. Bourbon Spirit at Ellis.
I mean, we've got a lot of, you know, courses that are stepping up. I'm excited about this Jace's Road. I think he's a good colt. He's a quality road that was able to win going short. And, you know, we're looking at the Iroquois with him. He was impressive and received some good figures, and hopefully he'll stretch out.
And I suppose I'm being remiss in not asking about Mostrike.
He's doing really well. He's been on a pretty steady work schedule. He's been on a Sunday work schedule, and the plan is to run him here in the hopeful next Monday, closing day, I should say. So he's really doing well. He's a very intelligent horse, and that's, you know, two for two. He's had plenty of time since the Sanford. He spent the summer here at Saratoga, and hopefully he steps up.
Tawnyport.
PA Derby, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he went back home to Churchill. He had one work here post Jim Dandy, and we thought we'd take him back home to train him and get him ready for the PA Derby.
Keen Lady today at Horseshoe.
Yep, she's doing well. Hopefully she had a good run there last time at Indiana. Hopefully she moves forward, and if she does, I think she'll be tough.
That's a three-year-old filly today. Mm-hmm. Then at Ellis coming up on Sunday, good, better, best.
First-timer by Collected that's doing well. She's trained well, and 6.5 should suit her. We'll see how it goes. Looks like a competitive race on paper.
This is a $97,000 yearling purchase that was bred by MacMerhall, Michael Dubb, and our friend Mike Caruso, no longer Bethlehem Stables. The Chamber of Commerce in Bethlehem cannot be happy with Mike Caruso dropping the Bethlehem name. But it's good that
still involved.
He's the greatest. Brad Cox.
In the flesh.
Outstanding. And let's see, with you here, with you in person, I was able to kind of really, you know, go
right
through.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just keep throwing stuff at you, but this was fairly succinct. In fact, it looks like 11 minutes there. Might be our personal best.
Yeah, track record.
Brad Cox, everybody. Brad, thank you. That was great.
All right, Steve.
Good luck. And on Saturday, of course, get lucky.
It.
Al Gold and Cyberknife, and can't beat that. You got those of you that keep tabs. Let me get a picture, actually, here. It's almost time to switch hats from Essential Quality to Cyberknife. Get a Cyberknife hat on. Come over here because the lighting, the back lighting is shit. There we go. Oh, look at that. Oh, with Run Happy, I'll get a check from Frank Miramonte. Brad Cox, everybody. Well, this was a whirlwind opener. too funny. I'm not sure if I had the right. I think I had the wrong mic. So I gave up trying that. And I wasn't sure if Ron wanted me to have him patch through or not. So that's why I put him back up to my ear in case he was going to say, I don't want to be on the radio. No. Thanks to Ron Anderson, who brings you up to date on Joel Rosario. Okay to ride today and all the way through to the Travers Favorite. All right. Let's pause for a moment and do a little bit of a catch-up. I told you, you heard me mention Charlestown and their big night on Friday night. This will be the first Charlestown Classic night without Eric Zimney, right? I should check with Eric, right? He officially wrapped up. I think he did. I should check. I mean, I have not covered this race in the course of the show. Have only ever covered the Classic with a call to Eric Zimney, really. Whether you know, just publicity or, you know, kind of checking in. If you haven't seen it, actually, here, let's take a second. I was surprised with some of the three-year-old fillies that Brad had. I kind of expected that there'd be one that might have shown up in the Oaks for him. The Classic, the mile and the eighth, the three-turn, mile and the eighth, plot the dots for Claudio Gonzalez, coming out of a good try in the deputed testimony. Mind Control, off a little bit of a freshening for Todd Pletcher. And Todd didn't mention Mind Control going to Chucktown. But Johnny's going to go and ride him. How about that? He could, you know, that's an interesting move. And horses like Mind Control, historically, Duke of Mischief, Didn't Duke of Mischief win a classic? Stretching out types, yeah, they can do okay on the bull ring. Last Samurai, Angel Cruz, by the way, rides Plot the Dots. Last Samurai for Dwayne Lucas coming out of that Cowboy Jones tribute race at Ellis. Last seen in the Foster before that. And John Court rides. You heard Brad Cox handicap the handicap the classic for you by saying he had no interest in facing Art Collector. Bruce Lunsford's Bernardini that Bill Mott sends out. And Kieran McLaughlin sends Luis Saez on the private plane to, to Charlestown. Treasure Trove for Norm Cash. Juan Acosta rides. Looks like the first time. And Acosta actually rides regularly for Cash. And this is, of course, a Tapizar gelding that was bred by the Fradkins. By John and Diane Fradkin. Treasure Trove. He's had a nice career, actually. Six-year-old gelding. Officiating for Safi Joseph. We'll talk about one of Safi's runners in a minute from yesterday at Parks. But officiating, Javier Castellano, who, if I'm not mistaken, Javier has won this race at more than once, if I'm gonna venture a guess. And because I'm pretty sure the one I got to go once to the Charlestown Classic, which was really kind of fun. And I was on my way to Kentucky and got to stop. But let me see. Javier won on Stanford in 2016. He won on Caixa Electronica in 2012. Now, that's only since it's been graded. I'm not sure if he won another one. And there's Duke of Mischief. And I think that's the one. I think that is when I went, maybe. Was the Duke of Mischief year. And, in fact, if I look at that field, oh, he'd be upset Game on Dude. I actually didn't upset Game on Dude. Game on Dude was 6-1. Huh. Interesting. Favorite. Oh, my God. Favorite was Tackle. Nope. Favorite was Rule for Todd. Tackleberry was, good old Tackleberry was the second choice. How funny. Boy, there's a horse that time forgot. Tisway was third in this race. Game on Dude second. And Duke of Mischief won it under Jersey Joe Bravo. Won it under a feather, too. 114. How about that? It was giving, in receipt of 9 pounds from Game on Dude. Interesting. How about that? Some weight for age in that, under those conditions. I never really thought that side of the West Virginia standard. Yeah, doesn't seem like it's as much of a consideration as it was then. I'll tell you that, based on what I'm looking at here. Yeah, everybody's 118, 120, 118, 120, 118, 118. Yeah, all right. Rest of the field. It's so easy for me to get sidetracked. Safi Joseph officiating with Javier. Arnaldo Boca Chica on Mudabib. Mudadib. You know that this was, you assume that this was a Shadwell at one time, although, no, maybe not. It was a West Virginia bred. A Fibersond. It's done very well with limited, this is that undefeated gelding. Yeah, 5-year-old that missed a track of time. Good for him. He's 2-for-2 at the mile in the eighth at Charlestown, and winning stakes like the Breeders' Classic, as well as the Huevo. Interesting. And Jalen Journey shows up here with Angel Arroyo coming off the disqualification move up at Colonial, you'll recall, in the Chesapeake. So Nice group. And then in the Oaks, the Grade 3 Oaks, of course, the card is all kinds of stuff. The Russell Road, who, of course, another great West Virginia, Russell Road, you think of, and researcher, great researcher. But in the Oaks, She's Pure Silver for Ricardo Bailey. Divine Huntress shows up for Grand Motion and Eclipse. Chardonnay for Mike Stidham. Trying stakes again. Last stake try was at Laurel in the spring in the Weber City Mists. Claudio Gonzalez, Peachy Weechy, Society. Steve Asmussen coming out of the coaching club for Peter Blum. Peter Blum, Gunrunner Homebred, Stellar Ride. Safi Joseph out of the Azalea. Of course, this is the two-turn seven furlongs on the Bullring. Midnight Stroll for Matt Gatsis and Randy Hill and company. John Terranova's Delaware Oaks winner, trying to go back-to-back in Oaks. And this should suit her, too, Midnight Stroll. So it kind of feels like a Midnight Stroll Divine Huntress confrontation. Eric Cancel sticks with, and of course, Cancel won the Delaware Oaks honor. Lady Scarlet for Maker, coming off the turf. Try the turf sprint in the Coronation Cup, and Free Like a Girl, Jessie Pommier, the El Deal filly that won at last at Louisiana Downs, was a hard-trying third in the Iowa Oaks, but really had no, you know, really, that was a little bit of a deep water, and feels like two-turn seven-eighths should really suit her, actually. This works. Yeah, she won the Louisiana Jewel at Delta, going 7/8. So this she's interesting. This is a fun race, the Charlestown Oaks, and then there's all the West Virginia bred races as well, littered with stakes action. All right, so that was Charlestown. Let me get you the results from Philly yesterday, and I don't know if you saw the tweets, but great job from Popo yesterday, and the form to win view of that pick three. You're not going to believe the number. You know, for starters, you have the race off the turf, and you have the MTO for Kate DeMasi, the Violence gelding, Violent Turbulence, win the race at 12-1. So you had a 26-40 winner to get things rolling, and from there, it was completely formful. There was the slight upset of Interstate Daydream, and maybe you think it was a bigger upset than, you know, deserves to be cited. But a little under 3-1 for Green Up, and, you know, Todd yesterday was, you know, anticipating a good effort. Interstate Daydream went off at 1-2. So it feels like, you know, on paper it looks like a big upset, but I don't think it's that big of an upset. Team Valor and our friend Steve Carlin was down to watch and had a great time, and then he wanted to go to Non Solo Pasta, and they celebrated at Non Solo Pasta. They went to see Gennaro there, and of course we'll be there next month for post Pennsylvania Derby. Looking forward to it already. Arad Ortiz making it worth his while for the 2 days that he spent in Philadelphia. The 780 on the Mutual. And then it got to Best Actor. Best Actor for Brad Cox, as we discussed. And this is the Bo Lane. Congratulations to Bo for the great... You've heard him so many times with us. Great job with this flatter colt. And Brad Cox, the only blemish, the half-length beat in the Indiana Derby. Otherwise, he'd be 4-4. So three wins, and now a graded stake win in the Smarty Jones for Gary Mary West. We'll talk to Sid from, he's actually at Hill and Dale. So we might not only get Sid, but we might get a little John Sakura visit as well in just a little less than half an hour. But we'll get Sid's take, and you know, this isn't a West homebred. This was a purchase, but it's kind of nice. This horse sure feels like there's more upside yet. I mentioned Safi Joseph. He had the runner-up, that Kiss-A-Lot, that ran second. And was a nice price, was 12-1. Kenny McPeak went off favorite. It's funny, I talked, Kenny called me back. He was supposed to potentially been on yesterday. And he called me, I think, while the Philly race was, or just after the Philly race, after the Catherine Sophia, and we talked. So Creative Minister left with a little bit too much to do, and ended up third in here under Brian Hernandez Jr. Chad's horse took a lot of money, that Golden Alchemist, who was trying stakes off of a maiden win. So I don't know. It feels like Best Actor at 5-2 was a little bit of a value, and Kiss-A-Lot definitely was. So I mentioned what Form to Win. Form to Win, after the off the turf, had Violent Turbulence as the third ranked runner, and then it preferred Green Up to Interstate Daydream and Best Actor to Creative Minister. So if you spread a little bit in the dash and got to Violent Turbulence, that was the key to everything. The pick three paid $323. Papo and I were like, holy cow, look at this. So, yeah, 13, that's 80. So figure 80, 40, 280. They paid easily three times the parlay. Easily. Unbelievable. That was a crazy pick three value yesterday at Parks. All right, that's what went on there. I saved the rattle and roll in case we get Kenny. Actually, Case, you could try Kenny. He said that he had time this morning. He is in Kentucky. Then he's going to come back here. And we will see him, I think, here next week. But Kenny's had it very interesting. He told me a few things. He's been traveling all over the place the last couple of weeks, including Ireland and the UK and France and crazy. Yesterday at a couple of the venues that we were anticipating. How about yesterday at Colonial? Quick note. Saw that Michelle Lovell, it's the summer of Lovell, she won that allowance ninth, Strike Me Down. And this was a optional claimer, and this is a horse that had already cleared condition but was offered for 50, and Michelle took Strike Me Down home. This for Jerry Romans and partners. Jack Gilligan aboard. Won well as the second choice. Strike Me Down. I also saw that Maker and Michael Dubb with that Takafumi dropped down and won, and actually had a claim voided. Those were the kind of the two big events. There was the pick five yesterday paid $1,900. Both Indianapolis and Colonial and also Canterbury with the 10%. I mean, obviously you can't look at every single venue and seriously handicap every single venue on a daily basis, but it is worth, you know, at least looking at a sequence and, you know, trying to get a feel. I'll give you the indie piece from yesterday, because it was, you know, we had touched on them with John Dooley, and everything was pretty formful. Truth be told, there was one horse, the anchor leg, there was one horse to kind of reach for a little bit. But it started out with that two-year-old state bred, and there were four state bred races. The two-year-olds that started it, Cipriano Contreras with the 2-1 favorite, Fierce Justice, a Harry's Holiday, Justice Farm, wins it with Manny Esquivel. Then you had a second choice winner in the second leg, Signature Street, maiden winner for Tony Granitz. In fact, Tony ran 1-2 in here, with the two favorites. So if you went a little chalky and you acknowledge that, you get through that leg. Third leg, Daddy's Dream, a first, or a Skylord gelding for Pat and Donald Donahoe, a homebred. Randy Matthews trains, Rodney Prescott aboard, and won well with authority as the second choice, but 9-2, so paid 11-20. Then there's that Adios Asher, who, you know, in the allowance, we mentioned the Bravelli that looked tough. E.T. Baird aboard, wire to wire, just under 2-1. And then the one tricky horse, which was in the anchor leg. This was another Indiana bred maiden group, older. Bear Force, an Air Force, Randy Matthews, and Fernando de la Cruz, a little under 10-1, and went off as the fifth choice. So this one you had to at least, you know, pan for some gold. But if you were, you know, if you acknowledged the chalky aspect early in the sequence, well, what did it bring back? How about $1,873? Yeah. This, you got a Colonial, Indy, Canterbury. Look at these sequences during the week, because they're bringing back value. 12% takeout, 10% at Canterbury. There's a lot going back to the players. So, been some good early week racing, and now we're at midweek. And I'm sorry, Case. Yeah, Kenny McPeak. I can send you that. Oh, Tina tuning in. She's on her way to get her nails done. So she's listening in the car, and she just, thank you, honey. I love it. Good morning, guy, everybody. You know, it's funny. It's a little, I'm a little surprised. It's a little quiet to start this Travers week this morning. I'm a little mildly surprised that there was a little bit more of a presence. A lot of picnic tables available, so it could be you also got people coming in. Like Johnny and Will coming in tomorrow. So not everybody comes for the whole week. And you know, if you haven't looked, I went through Thursday and Friday cards last night. I was pulling together the DePaula play of the day, and this was a tough card, I thought, to dig up a play. And actually, it's funny. I this morning when I wrote the selections up, and it's up now already at the website. It's up at the races. It's not at the. I haven't put it on the front page of Derby Trail. A horse at a price today did sort of manifest himself to me, which I'll talk about in a second. Especially if we don't get Kenny. the horse I ended up tabbing as the DePaula play of the day today is in the seventh. I also wasn't sure. We got tremendous rain in Greenwich yesterday afternoon. And it does not appear that it rained as hard here, which is not unusual. We're on the other side of the river. And the weather pattern can be slightly different. So they did not. I was worried that we might have a threat to the turf today. But no. So anyway, proven hope. And I should have asked Mark Hennig. He was just here. Where's Hennig? They left. I should have asked Hennig. What's he going to say? No, I don't like my horse at all. proven hope. The horse to beat is Pletcher with the Prince's Spur at 8-5. But 5-1 is the right price on Proven Hope. And this is a good opportunity, I thought, in here. And no, that's the wrong race. There we go. What Mark's doing here basically is dropping down just a scooch from maiden special to 75 maiden and stretching out to a mile and going back to the turf. And the race two back at Belmont, I thought, was very good. Yeah, it was beaten three lengths by Boston Tea Party. But, you know, that race with this group is going to be a fit. Javier Castellano gets back aboard. Javi rode this Street Boss colt that Lee Lewis paid $130,000 for at Timonium. And I thought that was the play of the day formula. The horse that I realized later was interesting comes in the sixth. And if you haven't looked yet, when you get to the sixth today, turf sprint, and of course they're frequently a curiosity. Michelle Hemingway, who can train a little. Michelle does a nice job. We talked to her when she got her first winner. She's got a horse for Charlie Engel. The very familiar pink jacket with the black sash. Most notably worn by the first New York bred to win an Eclipse Award. The first champion New York bred. You in the back. Yes, Saratoga Dew is correct. Charlie Engel. Trained by Super G, Gary Siaka. If you ask Gary, if you see Gary on the around, what's the worst beat of your career? It'll tell you. The Alabama got beat by November Snow. I mean, like this. But she was, Saratoga Dew was a tremendous three-year-old. Anyway, Michelle Hemingway. She's got this Peruvian import that Charlie Engel obviously found or was presented. And this was a horse that is a five-year-old that's only run five times. In the fall at Monderico last year, three very authoritative wins and gets brought to North America. So it's a five-year-old, Southern Hemisphere, so it's a four-and-a-half-year-old, really. This horse is really dirtied up and ran at Monmouth on the dirt. And you know, that was necessarily the right, wasn't necessarily the wrong place to start, but there's every reason to believe that this is the right assignment. And the fact that Michelle Hemingway would bring Glorious Moment up here for this allowance race. That's $150,000 purse, so you can understand that. Hector Diaz comes along, and it 20-1. I'm taking a flyer. There's nothing that's overly scary in here. You know, there's a certain number of sort of familiar turfy sprinter types, and that includes Thin White Duke, and we're certainly always happy to see Phil Gleaves and Steve Crist and partner do well. But at 20-1, I want to key off this horse, and I might get nothing. There's every potential to get nothing here. It might not be much horse by North American standards. Interesting pedigree. The Ferryman, who's a Galileo son, out of a Belong to Me mare, San Emilia. So, Peruvian bred and a big price. So let's take a little flyer. And I'll do actually. Now I'm in my own, and I guess we're not going to get Kenny, huh? It doesn't look good. All right, they didn't. So we'll just go through other pieces of news until we're joined by Sid later. Bill Gallo, and I'm still trying to effort a Leslie Young visit as well here before the jump race. Good jump race today. The Walsh was very good. It's very an interesting group, so I'm anxious for some handicapping discussion. So this mare, no North American record, actually. This is very interesting, though. Belonged to me. She was Kentucky bred, but out of a Peruvian mare. Unbelievable. Interesting. There's got to be a story here, right? Bernardo Calderon and Teneri Farm. Interesting. All right. Don't know what we... We'll know more. We'll know more when we... There's Bobby Roboto. I love it. We'll know more later, maybe. All right. So, let me get... Since we did this, and I don't know if... what's today? Wednesday? So, Seth will be over later, too. Hadn't thought about that. So, we'll look for... All right. No Kenny. No, and he didn't respond to me either, Kasem. All right. I told him we would call. All right. No problem. And now I'm. Thank you, Aaron. And I had not. I had not seen this. Chase race is canceled because of the. I guess because of the soft turf, softish turf. This has got to make everybody crazy on the Chase team, because it's not they don't run on the same portion of the grass that the regular turf runners do, so it's not as if they're going to tear up the turf course, and a little give in the ground is actually very good for them. So that is too bad. Thanks, Aaron, you go to just let me know that they canceled. I'm surprised I didn't hear from. Wow, that's too bad, because this was a fun race that they had put together. Group of seven, and you know, some recent maiden winners, and kind of a fun assembly. Well, I'm sure we'll see Bill later this morning. And we'll get an idea whether they're going to. I assume that they're going to get a chance to bring this back. This is important. A novice stake like this is important to feed, you know, into the fall season, and particularly, you know, for horses that want to go to Far Hills. So. All right, I'm waiting to hear back. All right, too bad. Well, so I can't give you an opinion there. We'll move that away. A quick rundown then of the way the rest of this card unfolds. The state bred... okay. All right, we'll table... Casey, he's on a he's stuck on a call. Is Kenny McPeak? So we will. That's why he hasn't picked up. All right, and then and why it's gone to voicemail, and why he hasn't gotten back. All right. So we'll get him separately. You know, the stake we can talk about for a second, and I struggled a little bit when building the ticket. In the pick five and the pick four, the John's Call, and I hope you see the picture. Actually, I'm having trouble. I just realized if you go to Derby Trail, you'll see the picture, but I haven't been able to load it yet on Twitter for some reason. It's telling me that my media can't be loaded, but fabulous Skip Dickstein picture going back to 2000. Of John's Call at age nine, winning the Joe Hirsch, the Turf Classic. And he had won, of course, the Bowling Green up, the Sword Dancer. Bowling Green was still downstate then. But he won the Sword Dancer that summer, John's Call. Yeah, something's amiss here. I'm going to have to figure out a different way to load the photograph, but it's if you see it, it's up at the radio show website. It's at attheraces.com. You'll see it's the cover of the Blood Horse that week. They put John's call on, and a cool picture. And who can name Leslie Young is going to come by, she said, "Is this Steve Beck?" It is. New phone. That's everybody's right. Everybody's answer. New phone. So you got numbers that you just vaguely recognize. For those of you that aren't old enough to remember John's call distinctly, Jean-Luc Semin aboard. That's a great picture with his mane flowing and that great. Anyway, he had a great blaze. He had one of those blazes that slowly widens. Is there a bad blaze actually? Especially on a chestnut, there's really no bad blaze. I put up yesterday, somebody asked what the greatest name in the history of thoroughbred racing is for a racehorse, and I answered, of course, the right answer, Lloyd Dobler. I do love naming horses, but Lloyd Dobler continues to be, and it's available again. We may have to do Lloyd Dobler 2, or Lloyd Dobler again, although I don't typically like that. I like names for horses, or I don't like involved multi-word kinds of things. My suggestion is name a horse, like you're talking to somebody. After, like we did after somebody, like Countess, Constance, Kid Chocolate, who did not run yet well yesterday at Presque. Antonio Gallardo said he just was. It's hard to know right now if he was disinterested, if he didn't care necessarily for the synthetic that much. He galloped over it for the last 4 or 5 days. And, there's really no reason for him to have not, I thought he would take to it. He's looking at Lucky, loves turf. I thought this was a natural for him. So I appreciate Jerry Brooks handling him. We're going to wait a couple of weeks and try again. And see if, he just needed to get a little more acclimated to it, to the synthetic. It mimics turf, horses' hooves stick in and don't slide the way they do on dirt. So, by all rights, that's the properties of a synthetic course. But maybe that was it. He's not a horse you can't leave a lot for him to do because he's one paced. He grinds away, so you have to get him out of the gate, set up shop, not too far out of it, and let him, kind of gallop him to death. So, was not happening. I appreciate Leslie Knopf suggesting making him a jumper. All right, I'll talk to Leslie. He's six. It's maybe not that's not the craziest idea we've ever heard. All right, I'll talk to Leslie. We'll see if we can't turn Kid Chocolate into a jumper. That'd be interesting. All right, thank you, Leslie. I appreciate the suggestion. The thoughts on this John's call as we head to the break. Actually, let's head to the break, Case. Tide of the Sea is your speed, and I suppose, the case could be made, and has had a chance now with Tom Morley. He came off the turf last time and still picked up a check, actually. He has been a horse that likes a route of ground tied to the sea. So he could take them all the way around. And of course, if the course is a little softish, if there's give, then I suppose, you know, he gets a little added benefit. It gets Javier Castellano, who dialed in. Bluegrass Parkway, I picked Bluegrass Parkway. He's going to have to come from off of it a little bit. And a couple of other considerations. Ocean's Map is okay. Greg Sacco coming up from Monmouth. Saad for Kerry Breon. Won a race, the training race at Great Meadow, going a mile and a half. So from a distance standpoint, Saad makes some sense. Arad Ortiz gets aboard. Hieroglyphics for Napal Chatterpole, coming out of claiming ranks, but does like Saratoga. And then there's Girl Dad down inside for Mike Maker, off the claim. Of course, he took from Weaver for $35,000 for the Wyckoffs. So, six-pack, kind of a little bit of a cat-and-mouse chess match looking version of the John's Call. So, I'm afraid I'm kind of nervously spread a little bit in here. I didn't want to, but I don't like these. I've said before, I do not like these distance events. They confound me on a regular basis. John's Call. For those of you that don't know him, take a look at that picture. I'll get it on Twitter soon enough. 16 wins and 40 career starts. Trillium Stable. Bred by Wimborne Farm. And a Lord at War, of course. He was a modest yearling. A Timonium, Lord at War, out of a Be My Guest mare, calling guest Irish mare. $1.5 million in earnings. Just an amazing, amazing career. And was kind of a modest, early portion of his career. And as he got older, just got better and better and better. His first important stake win. The Laurel Turf Cup. Sword Dancer. Turf Classic. Third in the Breeders' Cup at Churchill in 2000. I was there for that. Fabulously fun day. Unbelievable. That was Calanisi, right? Yeah. What was he? 7-1. With Jean-Luc. Bonjour, beaten favorite under Mick Kinnane. Back after this, we're going to go to Kentucky. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hillendale.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred Horse Racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making...